the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
All right, I've looked at every angle now of Josh Allen's 4th and 1. Steven, it looks like he got it. I have the benefit of 3 different angles and a whole commercial break. But the NFL says, no, he didn't. Officials on the field said, no, he didn't. Of course, there were a lot of people upset by this, including some gamblers. It brings us naturally to our next guest, Arnie Wexler, who has been on the show before. Fantastic interview, of course, and a guy that is dedicated his life to helping people who are struggling and struggling with gambling and gambling addictions. Now, Arnie Wexler is a recovering compulsive gambler. He last placed his bet on April the 10th, 1968. He is not happy about some of what he sees going on with gambling being everywhere. And by the way, not very much help for addicted gamblers out there. He and his wife run a national helpline for gamblers who are struggling, 888-LAST-BET, if you want or need help. You can also find him at aswexler.com, and he's written a book about it as well. Arnie Wexler with us. How are you? Where are you today, Arnie?
We're in Boynton Beach, New Jersey. Boynton Beach, Florida. I'm sorry.
Give me an idea.
Go ahead.
Arnie, let's go back to April 1968. What made you stop?
April 1968, my last bet was Tom Seaver pitching opening day in San Francisco against Juan Marichal. I'm winning the game in the bottom of the ninth inning. Giants scored 3 runs. I blow the game. My last bet.
You win that bet. Is your life different, or is it just have one more bet in it?
Yeah, if I won that, I probably would have had a few more bets until I lost it anyways. But that was my last bet. I started gambling at age 7 or 8. It was flipping baseball cards, pitching pennies, betting 3 baseball players to get 3 hits, 6 hits, bet 10 cents, win a dollar. It was that early. And at 16, I was going to the racetrack and betting sporting events and all kinds of stuff. And at 21, I got married to my wife. Our first date was to the movies. Second date was to Monticello Racetrack. Every date after that for the next 2 years till we got married was racetracks, Las Vegas nights, sporting events that I had to bet on, or anything that had to do with gambling.
At some point, did she turn to you and say, Arnie, I think you got a problem, or what kind of realization do you have to recognize you have an issue there?
Well, nobody knew that there was help for compulsive gambling in those days. There was no gamblers. Actually, Gamblers Anonymous had started about 1960-something or 50-something, but nobody ever heard of it. It was a secret organization, basically, and probably still is at this point, unfortunately. The fact is that we went on our honeymoon. We got to Bermuda. And the first 3 days, I spent more time in the lobby with the jelly bean jar because it said, win a free trip to New York. Shows you how stupid I was. I had a trip to New York, and I still spent all this time with the jelly bean jar trying to win the trip. And that's what happened. And it happened the next 6 or 7 years of my marriage was totally involved with compulsive gambling in any shape, manner, or form.
Arnie Wexler with us. Arnie, you went cold turkey, it sounds like, in 1968. What did it require on your behalf in order to stay away from it?
Well, I owed 3 years' annual salary, and I was working for a dress company, a major dress company, and I was stealing every day to support my gambling addiction, and now I stopped gambling, and I owe 3 years' annual salary. I ended up working 3 jobs for 3 years to support, to pay off my gambling debts and to get even. And that's how my whole life was at the beginning. And it was 3 years of hell to pay because Sheila, my wife, was trying to get even with me for the 6 and 7 years that I destroyed her life. And thank God she stuck with me, and I stayed in recovery, and my life has been wonderful since.
I am thinking about what has happened in recent years with so much of sports wagering, you know, on our phones now, online. You don't have to go to a casino. You don't have to go to Atlantic City or Vegas to place a bet. You can very easily now do it. How concerned are you with people having issues that may go undetected?
You cannot believe how many young boys or men are getting in trouble from age 12 and 13. And I end up going to meetings with yesterday. There were 9 kids under the age of 25 at the meeting. This thing has exploded, and these young kids are getting so addicted to gambling, it's crazy. Thank God I never gambled when there were telephones and radio gambling, telephone betting, because I would have been in jail by now.
Arnie Wexler with us. Arnie, you could have just walked away. Why did you want to start a helpline? Why did you write a book? Why have you dedicated your life so much to this?
Thank you so much for those kind words. The fact is that I understood how bad this gambling addiction was, and it is nothing to what it is now in the last 3 or 4 years. We have addicted all these young kids. Here's a perfect example. I got a kid in Chicago. He's in college. He goes home to his parents. He used all the money that the parents put in for the college for gambling. He has to come home because he doesn't have the money to pay for his school. And the mother and father want to put him back in school, and he says, I can't go back to school because I'll be an outcast. I'll be the only one not gambling. Mm. And it's gotten that bad.
The Super Bowl comes up, and of course, we're going to see Super Bowl props. We're going to see wagering. What advice do you give to people? Because there are some people, Arnie, that will argue, hey, I am not a compulsive gambler. I can just gamble once a year on the Super Bowl, and it's money that I expect to lose. That person, I gather, doesn't have an issue. But how do you recognize when someone has an issue?
When the gambling controls you and is more important than your wife, your family, your job, your kids, that's when you have the addiction. But the worst part is it's so hidden and so invisible. If you're an alcoholic or a drug addict, somebody sees it or smells it. When you're a compulsive gambler, it's hidden and invisible. Nobody knows until the destruction happens. And some of the destruction that's been happening is these young kids are committing suicide because they have to face the addiction to gambling.
Arnie, the people who do call in, you probably see some success stories. You also probably have some people who just can't shake it. What was it about you and the help you got that helped you stay? And, you know, you're not feeling, I guess, or are you maybe feeling the temptation to place a bet on the Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl, or does it not appeal to you at all?
Not at all. I could care less. I don't even watch the stuff. I'm not really interested in it. But so many young kids are. And here's the other crazy thing. We never had young female gamblers come for help. You always had 50 and 60 and 70-year-old women that have lost a spouse or something like that in their life happened. But now you're getting 18 and 20-year-old girls coming in for gambling addiction help. It's amazing. It's sad what's happened in the last couple of years.
888 last bet if you want some help or know somebody who needs some help. Give us some of the warning signs for family and friends who might be listening who say, yeah, I have a nephew who places wagers on a game, or I have an uncle who bets. What are you looking for when you see signs that somebody may have an issue?
Great question. The biggest thing that's happening today is you're getting young people that have a gambling problem. They go to the parents, and this is so typical, 99 out of 100, here's the case. They go to the mother keeps bailing them out. The mother keeps paying gambling debts. The mother keeps giving money. The father and the mother are fighting. I've had situations where the mother and father have got divorced because of the child's gambling addiction. It's really horrendous what's going on in this country. Nobody cares. All the states are making money. All the leagues are making money. They're all getting a piece of the action. It's blood money, and they're killing the youth in America, plus other people.
There's obviously a lot of money involved in this. What do the proponents of gambling do when they know Arnie Wexler's out there? Have you encountered lobbyists or others who are telling you, Arnie, to pack up and go away, that, you know, this is regulated correctly? You see sort of the disclaimer sometimes on DraftKings and some of these other FanDuel sites that say, hey, if you have a problem, here's the phone number, but it's down in the fine print. Like, what have you run into as it pertains to opposition to what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, there's some very interesting things over the years. The other end of the stick is I've ended up working for casino industries, running responsible gaming programs for them, because they were getting so many lawsuits from gamblers that got in trouble because of compulsive gambling.
Arnie Wexler, the phone number, 888-LAST-BET. Arnie, I appreciate you giving us your time and your expertise, man. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for at least getting the word out to help some people that need it.
Hey, God Arnie, let me ask you this. How old are you now? Because I had you on maybe 15, 16 years ago the first time. How old are you?
I'm 87.
Wow. And you're still dedicated to this. This is your mission for life.
Well, I know how important it is and how bad it is. And the worst thing is all these parents that are now looking for help and don't know where the help is available.
Appreciate you, Arnie.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
There he goes. 888-LAST-BET. Steven, now you feel bad for not wanting him on?
No, I do feel bad.
You feel horrible.
I do. I love to hear those type of stories. And he is right. Like, the amount of pressure that a lot of these companies are putting on you, and the fact that they're always advertising, like, the same game parlays, because they
special.
Know...
Win your bet back.
Right. Those are the things that really bother me, is because... As a guy who has been gambling, you know, not as long as Arnie, like, Arnie started so early. I didn't start that early, but, like, I remember playing sports action with my dad. Like, he'd go up to 7-Eleven on a Sunday and be like, hey, let's pick a couple games. Yeah. You know, I was like a 10-year-old. Like, I've been around it so much. Like, I know parlays are sucker bets. And so, like, the fact that that's how they're getting all these, especially young people, in, they can get them in at 18 years old, basically, in certain spots, like, it is ruining a lot of the youth. So, it does bother me, a lot of these things. So I do apologize to Arnie there.
You don't have to apologize.
Anti-gambling, I'm all down with
no.
it.
No, here's the thing. Like, as long as, like, there's a responsible way to gamble and to game. And I'm not going to speak for everyone, but I wouldn't tell the casino this, and I wouldn't tell the sports book this. But when I place the wager, or if I buy a lottery ticket, I kind of expect to lose. And I do that math in my head when I'm placing the wager. If I'm in a Vegas casino and I'm playing blackjack and I go sit down at a blackjack table and I'm carrying a couple $100, I kind of go into that interaction going, I'm very likely to lose this. Like, you know, this money is about to belong to them. And I don't want it to go that way. But I'm well aware of that, and I'm not sort of enamored with the idea that I'm somehow going to get over on the casino and that I'm better than every other gambler and that I'm going to walk away with their money. I also, though, am in an industry and a business where I'm asked to make picks on a weekly basis, and I got about 52% of my picks right this college football season against the spread. I picked more than 130 games. I got 52%, and guess what? If I took that to Vegas, I would lose money at 52%. I'm almost breaking even. If you can get to 53%, you can make it. At 52%, nah. But I go into the equation going, hey, this is for entertainment. This is fun. I like picking the games. I'm not wagering my money. I'm wagering my reputation. But I am well aware that there are people looking at my picks going, hey, if Canzano feels good about this pick, I might do what he's doing. I've had people email me and say, I picked a 3-team parlay based on your picks, and I feel terrible sometimes if it doesn't win. Because I'm like, I don't want people to lose. I don't want people up against it. So I bring Arnie Wexler on once a year or every other year, and we try to have a conversation that is rooted in reality, which is when you look around the casino, you become keenly aware that all of that nice stuff and the carpeting and the chandelier and the stained glass and the lights and everything, like, that's getting paid for with all the people who are staying in that casino too long. And sometimes the degenerate gambler is easy to spot in the casino. You walk by somebody and you're like, man, that person has been in here. That's like a lounge lizard that's been in here too long. But other times, like now that you have the ability to wager on a sports event on your phone, it could be your nephew who you don't even know is wagering, placing bets on games. And, you know, I was in a college town just over the weekend, and there was a game on the television in the restaurant I was in, and there were two kids talking about who they had in the game, and they had a -1 point. I looked over and I'm like, gosh, they can't be 21, or if they are, they're barely 21. Do they have money to be gambling? So I want to bring Arnie Wexler on to talk about it and at least plant that seed in people's minds. Kevin and Sandy's called in. Kevin, what's up, man?
Hey, I just offering my advice is I really enjoy doing like future bets. So I'll do like just pick an upset bet and put a couple $100 on it, like, and then just watch the rest of the season. And usually $200 will get you, you know, if $4,000, $5,000 on a team that, you know, is a total upset. And it just, you know, if you like the Seahawks and you watch enough games and you feel like you know something about that team that the experts don't, it can be really intriguing. And so that's a good way to save some money and just keep you interested throughout the year. So, anyway, thanks.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Like, you know, and if Kevin goes, hey, I know my limit. And that's the other thing Arnie said. I love what he had to say about, like, when I said, how do you know you have a problem? When that thing becomes, when it takes over your life, and it's more important than your family, and it's more important than your kids, you got a problem. Like, I don't care what that thing is, if it's gambling on sporting events or alcohol or drugs, whatever that thing is, if it's more important than your family, you got a problem. Like, and you have to realize it. But one of the issues with sports wagering in particular right now is I think it's very easy for people to hide that they have a problem. And you can download and you can make a deposit to your account with like the swipe of a finger now. Steven, it's very easy for you to place a wager right now on a sporting event and add money into your account, you know, and, oh, wow, here's a teaser pick or whatnot. But I think it's important to bring somebody like Arnie on to be like, hey, as long as you go into that interaction with your eyes wide open, going, hey, if I lose this, you know, this isn't the end of the world for me, or I'm still making my mortgage payment. You know, I'm not, this isn't more important than my family, then I think you're okay. But have a little bit of context and perspective. Coming up, we'll talk NFL Super Bowl, plus the NBA trade deadline. Are the Blazers going to be a buyer, a seller, or a sleeper at the deadline? We'll talk about it.